To accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
NA has no must, but the hotel has some rules. One, we request that the guests under the age of 18 are accompanied by a parent at all times. Please ensure that they are left unattended at any time. Areas that particularly want guests to pay attention are the swimming pool, fitness center, and entrances of the hotel. The hotel is 100% non-smoking. Therefore, please ensure that no one is smoking within the facility. There will be designated smoking spots outside the hotel where smoking is allowed. If a guest smokes in any of our rooms, a fine of $300 per day will be applied to your credit card in the reservation. Pets of 25 pounds or less are allowed. There's a pet fee of $50. Someone please read, who is an addict?
Hi, my name is Perry, and I'm a grateful recovering addict.
Hi, Perry.
Who's an addict? Most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know. Our whole lives and thinking are centered around drugs in one form or another. We get it into using and find the ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or a woman who is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grips of continuing and possessive illness whose lives end always the same. Jail, institutions, and death.
Thank you. Will a friend please read, what is the Narcotics Anonymous program?
I'm Hillary, and I'm a grateful recovering addict.
Hi,
Hillary. What is the Narcotics Anonymous program? NA is a nonprofit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership, the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups, and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us, regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of it. We are not interested in what or how much you use, or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have used, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
Thank you. Will a friend please read why we're here?
Huh?
Why?
Why? I can't know that.
Hey, Kevin.
While we're here, before coming to the fellowship for the NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different. And we thought we had found in the drugs, we placed the use of the welfare of our family, wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm. But most of all, we had harmed ourselves through our inability to accept our own responsibility and actually creating our own problem. We seem to be incapable of facing life in our terms. Most of us realize that in our addiction that we slowly commit suicide, but addiction is such a big enemy in life that we have lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail and sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods were sufficient for us. Disease always resurfaced and continued to progress until in desperation we sought help from each other and Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. We can hardly be addressed at some point because it is very possible.
Thank you. Will a friend please read the press and identity statement? Does somebody have that out there? Press statement?
Yeah. Hillary, addict.
Hi.
Identity statement. In Narcotics Anonymous, we are presented with a dilemma. When NA members identify themselves as addicts and alcoholics, cross-addicted, and talk about living clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurred. To speak in this manner suggests that there are two diseases, that one drug is separate from the rest. Narcotics Anonymous makes no distinction between drugs. Our identification as addicts is all inclusive, allowing us to concentrate on our similarities and not our differences. Press statement. As our 11th tradition states, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. The primary purpose for our public relations effort is to tell the story of Narcotics Anonymous and what our program offers to the still suffering addict. Members of the press are often attracted to our convention, and we welcome their interest. However, we do not disclose our last names in the media as identifiable members of Narcotics Anonymous. If members of the press approach you, please direct them to the convention information booth located in the lobby of the convention center.
I want to thank everybody for reading. There will be two topics discussed in this workshop, and to start us off from the Westchester area, I'll give you Jerry M.
Yes, please. Hello, everybody. My name is Jerry M. I'm a grateful recovering addict. First and foremost, as always, I'd like to thank the God of my understanding, along with those angels, mercy and grace, for allowing me another day clean and for allowing us all to have a wonderful time of fellowship and a sharing of hope, a message of hope and recovery. The topic, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. When the committee member called me and asked me would I be willing to participate, quite naturally, you know, in all the years that I've been here, my clean date is April 29th, 1987. I cannot be grateful if I don't give back to this fellowship, and therefore it's hard for me to say no to when someone asks me to participate in a Narcotics Anonymous event or to carry a message or to help another sick and suffering addict. And I'm not talking about, I do that for a living, but I'm not talking about to get paid. I'm talking about unconditionally, you know, because if it wasn't for the people that were here to reach out to me and give me a message of hope, I wouldn't be standing here 24 and a half years later. So for that, I'm grateful. Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. For anybody that's new, just coming back, for the first time, welcome. If you think you use, I have a problem with drugs, they told me, you're in the right place. If you don't think you have a problem but you use drugs, you're in the right place. And if you use drugs or you have used drugs and you know you had a problem, welcome. Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. I've been around long enough and I've heard one of my grand sponsors share that a saying, and that every time I hear it, it makes me smile. And that is, the monkey may be asleep, but the circus is still in town. And I didn't understand that, so I had to ask, what does that mean? And basically, it was broken down to me, being a heroin addict back in the day, we used to talk about, I got a monkey on my back. Some of us had gorillas, okay? And, you know, when we stop using, we call it putting the monkey to sleep. But although the monkey may be asleep when we first come here, or we're putting it to sleep, the circus is still in town because the attitudes and the behaviors and the lifestyle are still active in us. And over a period of time, we get these principles in our life, and I need to say this, in our traditions it says, understanding these principles comes slowly over a period of time. And it also says it's through application, understanding and application, that it works. So in the beginning, when you first come to Narcotics Anonymous, again, for anybody that's new, welcome, okay? But this is not a circus. This is a program of recovery. And I want to take it back to the beginning of the basic text in our symbol where it talks about what NA is. So when you know what it is, you know what it ain't. And NA is not conventions. NA is not keychains. NA is not t-shirts. NA is a program of recovery with principles. 12 steps, 12 traditions, and 12 concepts, okay? Everything else is what the fellowship is based around. And there's a difference between the fellowship and the program of recovery. See, we don't want to confuse people to think that just because you walked in here that you are quote unquote, a member of Narcotics Anonymous, although we say you're a member when you say so, okay, we say that you're welcome. But when we apply the program of recovery and we're practicing the 12 steps, we can then say, I'm in recovery. And it also says in the beginning of that symbol, it says the last to be lost is the stigma of being an addict. So I don't call myself, introduce myself as an addict. I call myself or introduce myself as a recovering addict. For me, that puts some cut on some of the behaviors, so I can't keep blaming everything on my disease. Okay? And I want to keep it real simple with that, because having some time in this program, and I'm not going to say that I haven't acted out and done things that were inappropriate in my time in recovery, but the things that make you laugh in the beginning will have you crying in the end. If you have an experience that keep coming, like they said, more will be revealed, okay, and you will begin to understand truly what that second step is all about. Because if you haven't seen the insanity in your using, stay clean and keep doing what you're doing. And if you don't see insanity of doing the same thing and expecting different results, then as they say, keep coming. Just keep coming. This is the only program that I came to where I didn't have to scream for help. I didn't have to do a blood test. I didn't have to piss in the bottle. I didn't have to have a degree. I didn't have to pay no money. Y'all welcomed me with open arms. Crazy ass me. Y'all welcomed me. This is a guy who shot dope for about 20 some odd years, smoked cocaine and crack, hid in closets and do all that crazy stuff, all right? And I never thought nothing was really wrong with me. I thought that was okay. I thought that was just part of what we did. See, I didn't understand taking a little piece of glass that big, turning on the stove full blast, and sticking my face in the fire. That was normal. Taking an illicit substance that could have been anthrax, putting it in a cooker and injecting myself, that was okay. I didn't see the insanity behind that, okay? But, you know, that's why we're here, because they said we're sick people suffering from a disease from which there is no, check this out, no, they ain't say maybe, there is no known cure. However, it can be arrested at some point, and then what? Recovery is impossible. So what does that mean? Abstinence has to come first. We have to abstain from using. See, the monkey has to be put to sleep, but the circus may still be in town. So therefore, you might not see the process of recovery at that point, but over a period of time as a result of practicing these principles and getting something spiritual in nature in your life that will change your consciousness and your thinking, you might begin to see a new character developing. Now, why do I say that? It's because I'm going to go back to the beginning. They said, this is the topic, welcome to NA. I'm going to give it to you the best I got. I'm going to give it to you the way it was passed down to me. In that symbol, it also says there are all sorts of esoteric and occult connotations which could be found in the simple outlines. I did what my sponsor told me to do in the beginning. I didn't know certain words, and I was told, get a dictionary and look up words so that when you're speaking on something, and he's sitting right here, he'll tell you, we argued in the beginning, because I said this was a acute and chronic disease. And he said, it's not acute, it's not chronic. I said, it's acute and chronic. So we got into a battle. I had to go to the dictionary, because my therapist said, read the book. If you don't read the book, then you don't have the information. You're not empowering yourself. So when I read the book, I found out that this disease is an acute and chronic illness. And through that, I also began to read, what does it mean by esoteric? I don't know if you know that, but I'm going to share it. In the dictionary, esoteric means designed for and understood by only the specially initiated. It is designed for people who are participating in something that is special, and you have to have some kind of initiation. The word occult means using terms or words that might be mysterious or hidden or unknown to others, but only the initiated understand it. How did we get here? If you were in a gang and you wanted to become a member, you had to go through a process of initiation. The initiation means you might have to get your ass whipped. Correct? You get beat down. You get smacked. You got to do something to be initiated to get into that gang. If you want to become a fraternity brother, if some of you have been to college and you want to become a frat brother and you want to get into a fraternity, you go through an initiation. What do? They powder you. They humiliate you. They have you dress up like a girl if you're a man. They do whatever they have to do to break your image. Well, guess what? Did we get initiated? Because if you are like me, I got my ass whipped by using. It did some things to me that made me look outstandingly stupid, outrageously like an idiot. Left me to, as they say in our basic text, to the animalistic level. Eating out of garbage cans, begging for change, turning tricks, doing whatever I had to do to get the next one. I was thoroughly initiated. Now, it would be ironic to go into a fraternity, and if you ever seen those college fraternities, they have these paddles. And you got to stand there, and they paddle your ass. Everybody in the room gets a lick. Everybody. It would be ironic to go through that paddling and say, go back to him and say, wait a minute, do it one more time. That's crazy. That's insanity. And that's what it's like when we come in here and we say we're going to be recovering to go back out, guess what? For another ass whipping. The insanity. We know what's going to happen. Why isn't it just stay? It gets rough, but then it gets better. See, and I can only share this through my experience, strength, and hope, and being here in some years. And I came in here in April 29th of 1987 after having my ass whipped, pardon my French, and I don't think ass is a bad one, but after being torn up, coming out of a detox, after going through therapeutic communities, trying methadone, trying psychiatry, doing geographics. As a matter of fact, my clean date may be April 29, 1987, but I first heard the message in July of 1985 in North Carolina. That's where I first heard the message of Narcotics Anonymous, because when I left here in New York in 85, there might only have been one meeting. So when I came back and I found out there was NA meetings here, I was like, wow. See, I heard a message down there, but I was missing home, and I felt like I was running, but I needed to come back to New York because this is where I was from, and that geographic curve wasn't filling that void. I needed to be around my family because I needed to recover in a safe environment where I knew people loved and cared about me. And when I got here in April that time, I came out of detox, and I made my first meeting in Westchester County at a meeting in Yonkers in Getty Square called Square Rooster Recovery. And I sat my butt up in the front seat because when those people came into the detox, they told me, take the cotton out your ears, put it in your mouth, learn to listen, listen to learn, sit up in the front, get phone numbers, and it's not like it was now. They didn't pass no sheet around. They taught me you need to go around and ask for numbers just like you asked for that change. Show some humility and get in the practice of asking for help. Some of that stuff we don't do no more. Some of the fabric of this program, now let me take that. Some of the fabric from what we did in the fellowship has changed. The program hasn't. I want to be real clear about it. The program has never changed, but the people and the practices that we do have changed. You go to some meetings today, you don't even see the slogans on the wall. I needed the slogans. I remember the first time I went to a meeting in Morris Park. I saw a sign that said, powerless, clean, and crazy. I said, I'm in the right damn place. Honest to God, I'm in the right place. So I needed those little things because they helped me. Easy does it. Keep it simple. First things first. Just for the day. Okay? I needed something to ground me, to hold me until I could get to the step. And I'm forever grateful. And the next person that's going to share is going to come up in a minute. My first sponsor is in this room. And I sat in that meeting in Square Rooster Recovery, and I was hurting. I was coming off 100 milligrams of methadone. They put me down on the blind side to 60. And if you know anything about that, you ain't supposed to be detoxed at 60. They want you at 40. But I went in at 60 because I was determined to stop using because I heard a message. And I don't know if you can experience it, but when I heard the message in North Carolina, something spiritually happened to my using. It just wasn't the same. Y'all messed up my getting high. See, when I did them other drugs and them other methods, I was able to rationalize and justify some stuff. But when I heard y'all sharing the same stuff that I was feeling, and y'all said, if I can stay clean, you can stay clean. And when I heard that just for today, that's all we have to do is stay clean just for today, not tomorrow, just for today, I was like, damn, if I can't do it just for today, I'm not going to be able to do it. But they said you can do it if you come and you get connected. You got to tap into the power here in Narcotics Anonymous. Okay? Because if you ain't tapped into the source, you running on self-will. And they say self-will run riot. I did that long enough and I said, I don't want to do that anymore. So I had to plug in, I had to get a sponsor, and I sat in the front and I heard somebody with a very passive voice. Didn't sound like me just now. Had a very calm voice. Sedating. Soothing. I said, damn, there might be a guru back there. And I looked back and I saw this guy and I said, I need him for my sponsor. Because I had so much noise in my head and in my spirit was so disturbed, I needed somebody to kind of help me to come. I didn't need loudness. I didn't need no ranting and raving. I did that by myself. The monkey was shaking the cage. Okay, but I needed somebody to help calm the monkey down. And I asked this gentleman at the night, can you help me? I need a sponsor. He said a couple of things. He said, can you follow directions? Can you call me? Yes. Are you willing to try this and do it the way I suggested to you? Yes. And guess what? In 20, almost 25 years, I haven't went back out. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that that person was there to grab me in the beginning, to get me grounded, take me through these steps. And he was involved in service. And I couldn't wait to get in service because I wanted to be like my sponsor. See, back then, they said there is no model of the recovering addict. I don't agree with everything I read. Because I think we do have people that model for us what the program of recovery is all about. See, a person with 25 years should not be doing certain things that newcomers see, because it gives them a message that if he can do it, I can do it too. I'm even talking about being in the meeting, talking while the meeting is going on and being destructive. I mean, disruptive. That ain't what we were told to do. We were told to come in the meeting and shut your mouth. Listen, right. You want to talk, go outside. Okay, if it's that damn important, take your butt outside and go talk about it. But when you're in the meeting, sit back and listen. Okay? I wasn't taught to be, let me say it this way. You can learn by different examples in this room, and if you want insanity, you will find it.
Yeah.
Okay? Water seeks its own level. You want insanity, you know people who are insane. You hook up with them, guess what you're going to get? Insanity.
Absolutely.
Okay? And when that shit happens to you, excuse me, N.A. folks, when it happens, you'll pay the price. But after a while, the pain gets so bad, you'll stop. So what I'm saying is, through these principles that we have, I've developed a spiritual conscience so that things, like I said, that I used to do, I just don't do anymore. My spirit won't allow me to. My thinking says you can do it, but when I think about it, how am I going to feel afterwards? See, how am I going to feel if I cheat on my partner? How am I going to feel in the morning after it's over? So we don't think about the next day. We think about right now, because that's the core of our self-centeredness, self-gratification, right now. I got a program that helps me to deal with right now. It says, not now, let's talk about it. Share about it, pray on it. You don't have to act out. Because if I do that and I can justify cheating on my partner, guess what, y'all? I can justify using. And we are such great manipulators, and I don't know, I don't want y'all to look at me like I'm in this shit alone, okay? All right? We lie so quick and so fast, we start believing our own stuff, okay? And then we become convicted that we're right when we're dead wrong, okay? Because we don't want to look at the ugly side of our addiction, of our disease, okay? So, you know, if you're new, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. We're not going to shave your head. Because they did that to me. They made me scream for help. They put handcuffs on me and straitjackets. Been there and did that. And if anybody don't know, you go to a detox. A detox ain't nothing but a short-term psychiatric program. Okay, don't get it twisted. To get in there, you got to get a diagnosis, and one of them is going to be you ain't all there. Something wrong. Okay? So, you know, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous, monkey, chimpanzees, gorillas, everybody. You know, tigers, lions, and bears. You know. We do get better, and this is a beautiful program. I can't say enough. You know, I wish I could do more. My life is full. I'm getting ready to turn 60 in a couple of weeks. I'm getting ready to come up on 25 years. You're looking at a person who came in here back in the 80s, diagnosed with a fatal illness that they said I was going to be dead in 6 months. Wrap it up. And it didn't happen. I had some other medical complications. They said, you're going to die from that. It didn't happen. I got diagnosed with cancer. I'm in my fifth year, going to my fifth year of remission. If there's not a God,
right.
If there's not a God, and I don't mean to sound religious, but I chose the God of my understanding, who I call my higher power, and I'm not going to reveal the name, but that's for me. Right. And y'all told me I can choose. Steve told me, choose your own God. Make sure he's loving, caring, and understanding. And that's all that's required. And I chose that person, that God, and today that God has kept me clean. He's kept me humble, even when my behind is hard-headed. He teaches me lessons like a father. I learn, and he speaks to me in a spiritual voice and say, now what you're doing is wrong. Do you want to deal with the consequences, or do you want to get better? Do you want to get better at what you're doing, or do you want to get better in this process of recovery? And I choose to listen to the higher power's voice today as opposed to those monkeys up in my head, because again, they will take me places and put me back in the cage again, and I don't want to be there. I like my freedom. And you know what? They say recovery is about freedom, but freedom ain't free. You got to do some work in order to enjoy the freedom. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm Jam and Attic.
And to share with us on why do we need a sponsor, I'll give you Steve from Florida.
Want water?
Please.
Hi, everybody. I'm an addict named Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Who currently lives in Florida, but was blessed with getting clean in Westchester. This is the area that gave me that allowed me to start my process. And I'm going to talk about why I need a sponsor. And when I was told that was my topic, it kind of put a smile on my face, because the first thing that came to my mind is that, did you know me before I came here? Because the answer to that question is duh. When I came in to Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't have a drug problem in my mind. I used drugs because I had a living problem that I didn't know how to live one day at a time with myself. And of course my using made that self-hatred grow more and more, to the point that my bottom was I couldn't live in my own skin. I never thought it was about the drugs until I came into Narcotics Anonymous. And what happened is, when I came in like a good addict, I had about 10-15 ways out before I walked into my first meeting. And when I walked into my first meeting, I mimicked what everybody did, because I knew how to say and do what I needed to do to get what I needed. I said I was an addict. They were very empty words, but everybody else said it, so I said it. What everybody did, I did, because that's what I did for the past 25 years of using. But what happened is I heard people share, and for some reason I wasn't identifying with the stories, but I was identifying with the feelings. And what I found out through underneath everything was that everybody felt the same way that I did. A lot of people had the same type of living problems that I had, and they looked for the same sort of refuge that I looked for, and my refuge was drugs. It came to a point in my life that no matter how much I used, it couldn't anesthetize the way I felt about myself. And really, that was my bottom. And I share about that because your bottom should be when you say enough. There's no quantitative chart which says you have to do this or that to hit your bottom. It's when you want, when you're whipped emotionally, physically, spiritually, whatever way gets you in here, that's good enough. You know, and I believe that anybody sitting in a meeting in Narcotics Anonymous is not here by coincidence. You know, there's a reason why you're sitting in the seat. And what happened is when I came into recovery, when I came into the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous prior to recovery, I was different. I was employed. I had a lot of materialistic things. I had an education. And when I came in, I just saw the differences between everybody. I didn't see what we had in common. I didn't listen to what people said. I had three sponsors my first year who I chose not to listen to at all. I chose not to take any suggestions. And the reason why I don't share about relapsing is because one has to be into recovery to relapse. And what I was doing is I was just loitering in meetings. And what happened is I wound up picking up a substance that was not part of my story. And I share this to people that, you know, I have an allergic reaction to alcohol. When I drink, I break out in dope. Because I don't remember a time where alcohol passed my lips where a hookah didn't follow. You know, and that's my story and I share it. And the reason why I share it is because there are a lot of drugs that are out today that weren't out when I came in. But when I hear you sharing about how it affected your life, I know that I could abuse it to the best of my ability. So I listen to your experience so I don't have to experience that for myself. And when I came back into the rooms, and I like sharing this because now that I'm living in Florida, there is a lot of youth in Florida. And I share this story to show youth how important they are in my life. When I came into recovery, I was 35, and there was this 22-year-old pup sharing, and my ears were just opened. He was talking to me. It was like a surreal experience that nobody was in the meeting except me. He was reading my mind and giving me all the information and giving me all the things that I was questioning. And his name was Lou. And after that meeting, I asked him to be my sponsor, and he graciously accepted. Now, the reason why I say this is because then, after I did that humbling experience, I chose to second guess myself. And I said to myself, what does this 20-year-old pup have to offer me? His parents are still subsidizing them. He's in college. You know, he's not working. You know, what does he have? And here I was working. I owned my own place. And, you know, I had, from what other people would look in, I was doing okay. And at 22, he had 5.5 years of recovery. At 22 years old, and this is in 1985, he knew how to stay clean one day at a time without putting a bullet in his mouth. That's the only thing I needed. That's the only direction I needed. I needed to know how to stop using and deal with the way I felt about myself. And I asked him to be my sponsor. And at that time, the only thing that we had in common was the disease of addiction. and I didn't even understand what the disease of addiction was. All I knew was that this gentleman was calm, comfortable in his own skin, and enjoying life. And those were three attributes that I did not experience for a very, very long time. The process began. He gave me suggestions. One was don't get into a relationship. Chose not to listen to that one. When I had 60 days clean, a blonde smiled at me, asked her for a number. She says, I don't give my number out to guys until they have 90 days. So I started going to meetings with her, meeting her at meetings. We went out to dinner with a bunch of people. When I had 89 days, she gave me her telephone number. When I had 90 days, she moved in. You know, because that's my behavior. That is my behavior. I can't tell you what yours is. And my sponsor very lovingly said to me, he said, we can't deal with what I want you to do. We have to deal with what's in front of you. So he accepted me being in a relationship. And the reason why it was easy to accept it for him was because it was my pain, not his. It was my choice. And we started understanding. And when I say we, I shared the way I felt, he shared the way he felt, and he gave me solutions on how to feel better about myself. And as Jerry spoke, the solutions are, at that time there were only 24 spiritual principles because the concepts weren't written then. There were 24 spiritual principles, but before he allowed me to start on a step, he told me, work a slogan a day. Tell me the slogan you're working. Tell me how it worked. Tell me how didn't it work. And I questioned him, why? And he told me real simple. He said the slogans are the banisters to the steps. And they're the ones that will give you stability when you're faltering in your steps. When you get stuck in your steps, you always have the slogans to fall back on. Now, in New York, you see slogans in almost all the meetings. Where I am living now, you do not. Somebody asked me to sponsor them down in Florida, and I said, work the slogans, and he said, what's that? That's getting back to basics. That's getting back to basics. You know, I can't tell you how many people have seen the think sign upside down and try to turn it right, and everybody on the meeting jump on your ass because, no, man, that's the way you think. Collectively, we could start the process of thinking. My first year of recovery was move a muscle, change a thought. You know, I could not stay alone with the committee in my head. The committee was very loud. My sponsor was very loving, very nurturing, and very firm. I couldn't get over on him. You know, when I used to try to get over on him, as we used to call it, the dope fiend move, he just used to laugh at me. And he used to say, you want to be in pain? Be in pain. You know, he said, I'm not responsible for your recovery. I'm responsible to guide you through recovery. You're responsible for your recovery. And that statement alone empowered me. Because for the first time in a long time, I could not point my finger at anybody else but myself for what was going on in my life. You know, I could not blame my boss, I could not blame my family, could not blame my girlfriend, you know, could not blame anybody for what's going on in my life. Because I had an active part in it. And I had a look, and the only thing that I had power over was my piece of the puzzle. And that empowerment gave me strength. Now, when we talk about recovery, when I talk about my recovery, I talk about a lot of spiritual principles. And we talk about hope and faith and courage and honesty and trust. And trust was one of my biggest issues coming into recovery. I don't know if anybody could identify with, you know, giving something up and what are they going to do? And, you know, my sponsor said, you know, Steve, you ever put money to a slot in the door? And I go, yeah. He said, you ever put money in a basket? I said, yeah. He said, you ever give money to somebody to buy you something? I said, yeah. And he said, you put trust in them, didn't you? I says, yeah. He says, well, if you could trust somebody to kill you, why can't you trust somebody to save your ass? And what he taught me with love, but firm, was that I had to use a lot of my character to help myself and not hurt myself. Because I had a lot of spiritual principles in active addiction. I had hoped that on Easter Sunday the cop man was going to be there. You know, and if he wasn't at the first spot, I had hoped that he'd be at the second. I had acceptance. I had acceptance the fact that no matter how bad it snowed, I had to go out and get the next one. You know, was I willing? Sure. I put myself in neighborhoods that no little white Jewish boy should be in. You know, especially at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, I put myself in danger on a constant basis. Was I vigilant in my addiction? Yeah, nothing was going to deter me from getting the next one. You know, did I do service to the devil? Absolutely. I used for 23 and a half years. That's not service, that's servitude. I was a slave to my disease. So my sponsor was pointing out that you had all these spiritual principles, they were just misguided. Instead of killing you, why don't you learn how to use them to heal you? And I had to be taught. And I had to be taught in a gentle, firm way. And I had to be taught not by him telling me what to do, but by him telling me what he did. Because I could learn a lot more through your experience than somebody telling me what to do. My disease revolves around a rebellious nature. I was a product of the 60s. It was drugs, sex, and rock and roll. It was all about, you know, anti-establishment, all about, you know, whatever the government wanted to do, I wanted to do something different. You know, I was so rebellious that if my father gave me something to use, a drug to use, I wouldn't, to spite him. That's how sick my disease was. You know, if you told me an easy way of doing things, I would say it's too easy. Look for a hard way. I was in college. I had a 4.0 cum in my major. It was so easy, I changed majors. Okay? That is my disease. That is my thinking. My thinking is thinking that the hardest way is the easiest. My thinking is that I'll try to spend 4 hours at getting out of 15 minutes of work. You know, my disease always looks for the more difficult. I try to use the word creative, but in recovery, it was really sick way of doing things. If things were too easy, they weren't worth it. If I didn't have to struggle for something, it wasn't worth it. If I asked the girl out and she said yes, now let me look for somebody else. You know, I want the one who's going to say no. You know, I always want what I can't have. That's where my disease is. And it took my sponsor to show me the insanity of my thinking. That easy is okay. Being comfortable is okay. Not being on the run is okay. You know, being polite is okay. He shared with me simple things. He said, would you rather be correct or happy? I did not know what happy was in active addiction, so I always wanted to be right. In recovery, you have taught me that happiness is a gift that I should cherish. And if I know I'm right, why do I have to prove it to you? The only time I have to prove something to somebody else is when I firmly don't believe in it myself. And when I'm convincing you, I'm really trying to convince me. And that's what my sponsor taught me. He guided me through the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. He gave me a program. He taught me about moral fiber. He taught me about integrity. He taught me about words that I never practiced. He taught me about words that I had to look up in the dictionary. I knew how to pronounce the word and say the word and use it in a sentence, but I didn't know the meaning of it, the true meaning of the word. You know, when we talk about having a sponsor, our literature, I don't know if the literature says it, because I'm not like a book thumper where I could say on page 43, third paragraph, second word, it says this. But I know somewhere it says sponsorship is the backbone to the fellowship. Okay? If I chose to work the steps by myself, I have to understand my thinking got me into this program. Or my thinking made me a candidate for this program. Your thinking keeps me here. I could think great for everybody but me. When I put I too much in my vocabulary, I'm in trouble. My sponsor gave me real gifts. He gave me one gift that I choose to share with everybody. He says, Steve, if you're about to do something and you don't share it with anybody, it's your disease that wants to do it. Because if it wasn't your disease, then you'd have no problem sharing it with somebody else. I live in Florida right now. My sponsor is front row, first seat in this meeting. We speak 4 or 5 times a week. I call him, he calls me. We always end the conversation with, I love you. I love my sponsor. You know, I'm not ashamed at meetings we kiss each other. If you don't like it, that's on you. You know, I do. You know, I used to kiss my father when he was alive. It gave me great joy. I felt the love, and I feel it with my sponsor. You know? And I have to do what's comfortable for me. If you don't like what I'm doing, you could share it with me. Ultimately, it is always my choice. I look around the room, and Jerry, who shared, I think I sponsored you your first 10 years. There are people that I got clean with that are around the room that, you know, I have friends in recovery for 25 years. You know, I don't have any friends that, well, there are two people that are alive that I used with. And the only reason why they're alive is because they're in recovery. One has 26 or 27 years and the other has 22. Everybody else that I'm aware of is no longer here. That's my reality. I've had one sponsee for 23 years. What a wonderful, wonderful relationship. I come here, and I've been in Florida for 2.5 years, and people welcome me like we spoke yesterday. That's the love of the fellowship. That's the love that I was taught. That's the love that I try to give to other people. You know, I'm sharing here. I came up a great grand sponsee who I met a couple months ago, came up from Florida with me. Now that's a joy. That's a joy. He's going to meet my sponsor. That's a joy. You know, we're talking about spanning the globe. You know, my sponsor tree is vast. It's like the tree of life. Everywhere it goes, it blooms. And I didn't do this by myself. You know, I have a sponsor. I've always had a sponsor. I have had more than one. You know, that's the reality of it. All my sponsors were kind, loving, nurturing, and firm. That's what I need. I have friends in recovery that on any given day give me the information that I need when my sponsor is not there. That's how I utilize the fellowship, as Jerry spoke about. I don't hang around with people who aren't about program. I don't have any friends outside of recovery because I don't go anywhere outside without people in recovery. So why would I go with people in recovery to meet people who aren't? You know, I'm not going to go to a bar and find a spiritual meaning of being there. I'm not going to go to places. I go to concerts now down in Florida, and I'm always with people in recovery. And I went to see a concert at some people that were the Animals, and they were around in the 60s. And, you know, I looked around, and, like, there's all these, like, 60-year-old hippies. You know, and I was with a young lady, not a young lady, a lady in my range. And I said, you know, Heidi, it's really funny, you know, when I first saw the Animals, we were passing joints. Now I see the Animals, and we're passing oxygen. But the thing is, we're still enjoying the concert. You know, when you talk about why I need a sponsor, I'm still here. And the only reason why I am here is because of my sponsor and because of the people in recovery that I have in my life. If I choose to do this alone, I know where I'll wind up. I've been there, done that, and to tell you the truth, I'm too damn old to do it again. You know, I am not going to have a 12-year-old punk telling me no shorts, no singles, get at the end of the line. You know, I evidently some people can identify with that. You know, I don't know. I'm going to close with this. I remember about like 10 years ago, I was asked to do a learning day, and it was on Simpson and Fox. And for those of you who are Bronx savvy, you know that's a couple blocks off of Hunts Point, and it's the spot. Okay, and that's where I used to cop. I got lost going there. That was the biggest joy that I had. I couldn't find where I used to cop. I had to ask a cop for directions. I got such a kick out of that, you wouldn't know. And I shared it at the learning day. I don't know where to go. I don't want to know where to go. I don't want to know where to cop, what's good, what isn't good. I'm here. I'm happy about it. And it's because of you. Thank you.
Form a circle. Someone is just for today out there somewhere?